Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
Wow. That we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. This freedom's in the house. Breakthrough's in the house. Liberty's in the house. Joy is in the house. Life is in the house. Jesus is in the house. His word is alive this morning. I'm ready for God's word. Are you ready? Father, anoint your word. I promise you, congregation, I'm going to preach, but I'm going to preach shorter than normal. But God, I thank you that no matter how long we preach, your word is power, your word is life, your word is true, and it's about to penetrate the spiritual and the natural. So God, have your way in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen, amen. As we open up God's word this morning, I believe God wants you and I to be both challenged and encouraged, church. I know the word he's put on my heart is very specific this morning. God is producing breakthrough. He is producing breakthrough. Our God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, church. And we've been fasting. We've been praying for 21 days. Hallelujah. We get to eat today. If you want to eat after service, praise the Lord. Be free in Jesus' name. But the challenge is this. We have a responsibility to uphold, to experience breakthrough. See, that's the problem with American culture is we want God to do everything. But God wants us to play a part. We've got a responsibility to play. We've got actions we need to step up and do in order to experience the breakthrough God has for us. I was listening to one of the most brilliant financial minds in Christianity today. His name's Dave Ramsey. Any Dave Ramsey fans in the house? I was listening to him just the other day, and he was talking about how one of the history of our culture, generation after generation, has shown us that we have a long history of people wanting an easy road. We've got a long history of wanting easy financial breakthrough. Generation after generation has fallen into the get-rich-quick schemes. Anybody there? From Ponzi schemes to the California gold rush of the 1800s to buying a rainbow vacuum and making all your friends have a party at your house. There's all kinds of Beanie Babies. Who remembers Beanie Babies? Their Pokemon cards are coming back, y'all. It is crazy, but now literally we're settling to sell digital copies of something called FTPs. Anybody heard of that? FTPs, many were disappointed about the AMC stock situation. We wanted to get rich in a moment, but that's not how things work in the kingdom. God honors hard work. God honors diligence. God honors focus. And there's a role that we need to play in the breakthrough, and I want to read the word of the Lord this morning. This is, I pray this penetrates to the depths of who you are this morning. It has me all week long. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "So if you think you're standing firm, be careful then that you don't fall." That's a strong word right there. There is a responsibility. If you think you're doing good, you better be careful, because I just heard two ladies who said, "I thought I had it, but I didn't." The word says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. But then the good news kicks in, and this is what gets my fire lit right here. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And listen to this. And God is faithful. I say it again. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear in Jesus' name. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way of escape so that you can endure the temptation that you're facing. That is the power of God's word this morning. Maybe we need to be careful, but God is faithful to give us a way of escape this morning. Come on, somebody. We live in a culture where we want a microwave. That's just the world we live in. We want microwave. I want things now. I want my money and I want it now. Y'all know the commercials. We want it now and we don't like to wait. And the reality is this, most financial freedom, most breakthroughs, most overcoming situations. Breakthroughs come in a crock pot. It comes in a crock pot. It's not overnight. It's not a microwave. It's a crock pot. Y'all know, y'all that cook in the house, y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to put the right seasoning in. You got to wait a while. It's got to take some time and marinate. Y'all percolate in there. Y'all feel that. It doesn't just come right away. It's a crock pot over a period of time. But this is the real danger of being faith-filled Pentecostals. This is the danger of being in a faith-filled church, and that's what we are. Don't get me wrong, but we have a danger of we want an instant miracle. We want an instant miracle. We want it one and done prayer, and we want an instant breakthrough, and we genuinely believe that God can do absolutely anything, because that's what our Bible says. Nothing is impossible for them that believe, so that is true. God is able to change everything in an instant. Don't get me wrong. I believe in miracles that are happening right now because of our faithfulness, but that's what we want with just one prayer of faith. We want our breakthrough. And the reality is we can move the hand of God with a faith-filled prayer. But what do we do if God has an in-between in mind? What do we do? That's the word this morning. What if the in-between, our prayer of faith and the breakthrough, what if the in-between takes longer than we ever imagined? What if it takes longer? And so this morning, God's led me to share very quickly a message entitled, The Importance of the In-Between. The Importance of the In-Between. God, have your way in this message in Jesus' name. I have to be honest, church. There's so much that I've been hoping for and praying for over these past 21 days of prayer and fasting that I'm still in the in-between. I'm being honest, open, and transparent this morning. I still have not seen the breakthrough that I want to see, church. I still am not satisfied. I've yet to see the breakthrough that I believe God wants to produce in my life and in this ministry, but I know it's coming. I know it's coming. There are breakthroughs that Jubilee and I are praying for that we have yet to see yet, but we are going to see them, and that means I still have some unfulfilled hopes and dreams. Anyone else in this house? I still have some unfulfilled dreams that I know God's going to do in my soon days to come, and I've been working hard to see things happen that have not happened yet. I've had my hand to the plow. Anyone with me this morning? I've been working hard. I've been doing what I know I need to do, and I still haven't seen it yet, but I've kept praying. I've kept diligent. I've stayed faithful, and yet there are multiple areas of my life where I could testify and say I'm in between. I'm in between. And I don't know exactly what God is up to in those areas, but what I do know is there's importance in the in-between. There's importance in the in-between. Because in the in-between, that's when I'm growing, church. Come on, somebody. That's when I'm changing. That's when my character is being sharpened. It's in the in-between where God is taking his chisel and he's knocking things off of my life that don't please him. The in-between has importance. I'm getting better in the in-between, church. I'm being refined by the refiner's fire, and it's in the in-between. I'm grateful for the past 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's not been easy, but I've felt the positive effects of being obedient to start the year off. Praise God, I've lost some weight, church. My wife said, she rubbed my, I'm not getting into much, but she just said, I like this. Why don't you keep this? And I said, okay, baby, I'll do whatever. You're my queen. I may not have seen everything I hope to see over these past 21 days, but I know the past 21 days has changed my life, church. It's changed who I am. It's made me a better man. Come on, so anybody with me? Maybe you haven't experienced your breakthrough yet, but God is changing you. He's working on you because guess what? You're more important to him than just some circumstance being done. You're more important. I'm grateful. God has breakthrough. Here's the important fact that God wants breakthrough even more than we do. Oh, I'll say that again. God wants our breakthrough even more than we do. And so that means if we play this out theologically and logically, if God wants it more than we do, then there must be a reason for the in-between. If he wants it more than we do, then he is actually orchestrating this in-between moment. Otherwise, he wouldn't allow it. He's in control. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who orders our steps. And so the in-between is something God wants for us. God sent me to remind us this morning, the best thing we can do in the in-between is to deepen our intimacy with the Lord. The best thing, you're in between right now. You haven't seen it yet. The best thing you can possibly do is fall more madly and deeply in love with Jesus. To get in your prayer closet every morning. Early in the morning will I seek him. Get in the face of God every single day and grow more madly in love with him. I've looked all week over some different situations all throughout God's word where people have found themselves in between. I think about Mephibosheth. He went from being a grandson of the king to being dropped. Anybody been dropped in the house? He was dropped as a child. His father, Jonathan, and King Saul, he was dropped by his nurse as they ran in fear because Saul and Jonathan, his father, were killed in battle. And there was a very lengthy in-between for Mephibosheth. There was a lengthy, crippling situation. He was orphaned. He was exiled in Lodabar, is what the Bible says. And Lodabar means there was no word. There was no leader. There was no shepherd. I wonder if anybody feels that way. You're in a low place right now where there's no pasture. It's barren. It's without speech. That's literally what Lodabar translates to. And that was Mephibosheth's in-between that he lived in for years. The in-between. And many times for us is a dark place, church. For many of us, it's a dark place. And in the in-between, it's an uncomfortable place. Nobody wakes up in the morning and wishes for the in-between experiences. Come on, somebody. Nobody wakes up and prays, God, make it a long season before I finally experience breakthrough. Nobody has that anticipation or desire. But when breakthrough finally comes, come on, somebody. I said when breakthrough finally comes, in the in-between, those in-between moments begin to make sense. It begins to make sense. God puts the pieces of the puzzle together and say, oh, that's why you let that happen in my life. See, Mephibosheth was not anticipating breakthrough as he was late in his adult life. But I have a feeling many might be feeling like him in this room right now. You've prayed. You've fasted. You've done the things. You've walked through the spiritual hoops. You've checked it off your list. Many of us are thinking, this is the way it is, and this is how it's going to be. Well, God sent me this morning to say that is a lie from the pit of hell, because breakthrough is still coming. This is just an in-between for you. It may be a long season, but there is purpose in the in-between. Come on, somebody. We may have been in the in-between in our brokenness, but our breakthrough's coming, church. I'm excited for that. We might not be anticipating much change. And if that's you this morning, God sent me to remind us that David invited Mephibosheth to leave Lodabar. And God is calling us out of that low place this morning to live in the palace. And if you're in your in-between and it's been a long time coming, please know that your breakthrough is still coming. Your breakthrough is still coming. King David understood all too well the in-between. Because God orchestrates our lives. Come on, I said God orders our steps. He knows exactly where you're at. David knew full well he was anointed by the prophet Samuel, and his in-between took almost 13 years, church. 13 years before he would become king of Israel after his anointing, and that was not an easy season. David was living in caves before he would later become king, and God saw the importance of the in-between. Come on, somebody, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had an in-between of walking through the fiery furnace. Come on, somebody. They walked through before they were as soon as they walked through the fire, that's when they were put in charge. That's good news this morning. That's when their breakthrough came. Moses took care of his father-in-law's sheep before leading the people of Israel to freedom. That in-between time, listen to this, was, I pray against this in Jesus' name, but it was 40 years, church. 40 years. And I pray our in-between is not that long. It's coming. Well, I'll take 4 days. Can I get 4 days, church? Can we get a hundredfold blessing as Life Church in Jesus' name? That's what I want. But in this holy moment, I know that looking at God's word, there is importance in the in-between. Can I share just a couple more? Are y'all good? Thomas had major doubts in between the cross and the resurrection. He said, oh, no, I want to see it. I better touch it before I'll believe it. But how many know Jesus helped him in the middle of his in-between? Jesus walked through the wall and said, hey, Thomas, here I am. Go ahead, put your hand. It's real. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Go ahead, touch my hands. It's real. Your in-between, there was weakness, but your in-between, there's meaning. There's purpose behind it. Jonah had 3 days in the darkness being swallowed by a giant fish in between his rebellion and his preaching a sermon that reached thousands of people, church. The in-between was important because the in-between caused him to be able to reach thousands of people. You see, church, I came this morning to preach to somebody. God sees the importance of our in-between. The woman with the issue of blood saw doctor after doctor after doctor, and the scripture says that she gave all that she had for a breakthrough. Anyone with her this morning? I did everything I could. I reached out. But in between, it took 12 years. 12 years. But eventually, church, she found a way to reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And in a moment, she was healed. And finally, her in between turned into breakthrough, church. It turned into breakthrough. See, I'm so grateful for these stories because they teach us that God works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's encouraging this morning. Our God is faithful, church. Hallelujah. But these stories also let us know. They also let us know that the enemy works overtime in the in-between. The enemy works overtime in the in-between to discourage our resolve. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up before March comes. He wants you to give in and give up. Quitting is not an option, Hope Farms. There is nothing you cannot do without the love of God. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And that goes for the church of Jesus Christ in this house. We don't give in and give up, but the enemy's going to try his hardest to break us in the in-between. Quickly turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. I promise I'm going to wrap this up quick. But God's word is too good to let go of this morning. Genesis 39, starting in verse 1, a very familiar chapter and passage in God's word. It says this: Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, he was the captain of the guard, brought Joseph from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. Joseph was in an in-between. And the Lord was with Joseph, so that Joseph prospered. And he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph and that the Lord gave Joseph success in everything he did, hear that this morning, the Lord was with him and the Lord gave him success, Joseph found favor in the eyes of his master and became his attendant. And Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire household, and he entrusted to Joseph's care absolutely everything that he owned. And here's the good news I came with this morning, church. If you are in the in-between of your brokenness to your breakthrough, God sent me to tell you we can and we should experience the favor of God in the in-between. We can and we should still experience the favor of God in the in-between. I preached it on week 2 and I'm declaring it again. The dream is coming, Life Church. The dream is coming. Just because the dream has yet to come doesn't mean we shouldn't walk in the favor of God. Every morning, I pray and I pray and I pray over this church and I pray over you. May the favor of God rest on us. May his anointing bless us. May he establish the work of our hands. May God call us to wrestle until daybreak. That's week 3. We're going to wrestle until God blesses us. We're going to hold on to him until he blesses us. May God call us to refuse to let go until he blesses us with breakthrough. Come on, somebody. But Joseph saw the dream. He saw it. He shared it with his brothers. And his dream, here's the deal. His dream was bigger. His dream was bigger than being in charge of Potiphar's house. And all you ladies of Hope Farms, God sent me to say, hey, guess what? God's dream is bigger than just being sober. It's bigger than just being free. It's bigger than that. You're called to change the world. You're called to revolutionize things because God's anointing is for you. If God can use Saul and change his name to Paul to change the world and be the greatest missionary on the face of this planet, then God can use you. Don't limit your dream. Don't let your dream be too small. I'm so proud of you. And the dream was bigger than having a Midas touch, that everything he touched was favored. But Joseph thanked God, and Potiphar trusted him. And I'm guessing Joseph felt good about the accomplishments, but here's the deal. Joseph knew in the depths of who he was because he saw it with his own eyes. Some of you have seen the dream in your own mind's eye. You've felt it. You're so close that you can touch it, but you just haven't received it yet. I want you to hold on. Joseph's dream was so much better and bigger. And God sent me this morning to encourage us. It is vital that we don't settle when we're in the in-between. It's vital. You don't settle. You are God's favorite. You are not to settle in Jesus' name. And I hope Joseph's life can help us see that God can and God will take care of us in the in-between. He'll take care of us. He will even favor and bless us in our in-between. But we must not settle in the in-between. That's a good word. Genesis 39, starting in verse 6, it says, "Now Joseph, praise God, he was well-built. He was a handsome man. And after a while, Potiphar's wife took notice of Joseph." And this is where it gets PG-13, y'all. She said, "Hey, come to bed with me." What? We are saying this in church right now. Come to, you look good. Can you come? My husband's out of town right now, please. And a valuable lesson we're taught in ministry school. Jubilee and I started our training in ministry school, and one of the most valuable lessons, there were hundreds of students living together in proximity, and we were all in the same place going for the same goal, and they told us almost immediately that we were to consecrate 9 months of our life to celibacy, to make sure that we're not dating, we're not interested, we're married to Jesus, praise God. And for 9 months, that was our deal. And they told us from the get-go that the anointing of God is attractive. That's where we see in this story. Potiphar's wife saw the anointing, and it was attractive. And this is why I believe there's so many mismatched couples in the world. I'm one of them. I'm maybe a 5 at tops, but I'm married to the most beautiful woman on the face of this planet. Praise God. Can I get a witness? Because some of y'all gentlemen need to be shouting because y'all are obviously out of your league right now. But praise God, the anointing is attractive. Come on. Can I get a witness, John? I'm with you, brother. The anointing's attractive. Jose, you are one lucky man, brother. The anointing is attractive. But praise God. Praise God for that attractiveness. The anointing of heaven can and will attract the right people, but this story, we see how it can also attract trouble. The anointing will attract trouble. Everything Joseph touched was favored. It was blessed. God was setting Joseph up for breakthrough. His anointing was on him, but Potiphar's wife noticed. Wow, that man looks good. Joseph was in the in-between, and he was navigating the brokenness before the breakthrough, and many of us are in the in-between right now. And I remember, as it was being told to us in ministry school, remember I said it's in the in-between where the enemy will work overtime to try to break our resolve. The mind games start to come in the in-between. This is where it gets real. Are y'all ready? The mind games come in the in-between where the enemy of our soul will say things like, "Drop your standards. Just go ahead, forget about the favor that's on your life. It doesn't matter, it's not going to last. Give up your anointing. Come on. Quit the program early and go home. You've already learned as much as you can. You've got everything you need. Sacrifice your future for a moment of pleasure." That's what the enemy whispers. And are there any normal human beings in this room that have experienced that before? Because I know I have. I know these mind games are real, but I'm here to say they're from the pit of hell. How about it, church? It's the waiting isn't worth it. The waiting's not worth it. Indulge even though your conscience screams to refrain. It's okay. Look at how many other people are doing what you want to do. Let your guard down and entertain the thought of compromise. You've been strong for so long. Just have a moment of selfishness. Stop thinking about others and be selfish for a change. I don't know about you, but I've heard this. Don't value the condition of your soul. Just do what makes you happy. That's the message of our culture. And the enemy was in Joseph's ear with Potiphar's wife. And she said, come to bed with me. Church, the message is simple this morning. God sent me to encourage us. We can't lose heart and we can't let go of our convictions in the in-between. We cannot lose heart and we can't let go of our convictions in the in-between time. I realize the in-between is not comfortable. I understand we may have never chosen to go through what we're going through right now in this in-between moment, but I promise you it's in the in-between that is instilling in us the character and the resolve that we need to cultivate in order to walk in our full God-given potential in the near future. That's good preaching. I want to invite the band to come as we close this morning. If you're in the in-between, oh, breakthrough's still coming. It's still coming, church. Potiphar's wife was attracted to the anointing, and she said, come to bed with me. But one of my favorite verses in this passage, Genesis 39, verse 8, the very beginning, but Joseph refused. Yes. Hallelujah. But Joseph refused. Let me just preach right there for a moment, church. There are some things we must refuse in the in-between. Come on, somebody. There are some things, hallelujah, he refused. Praise God, he stopped. He refused. We need to be like Joseph and refuse to give in and give up. God sent me to preach. May Life Church be full of those individuals that refuse to walk in sexual immorality. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm talking about it this morning. I will keep my eyes fixed on the author of my faith. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to lust after another woman. God, may we be a men, a body of manly men that refuse to look at anything but our spouse. Because we are called, we're anointed. We refuse sexual immorality. I've made a covenant with my eyes and I will keep them fixed on my God and on my wife. Follow me as I follow Christ. You and I should be refusing to be nominal Christians, church. But Joseph refused. I don't want to be a church that's just a church in name. Oh, they're Christian. No, we are a people who practice what we preach, church. We're a people who live by the book. We're a people who love the book. I refuse to be a hearer and not a doer of God's word. Come on, somebody. We should refuse to be spectators. This is not a spectator sport. I will serve my guts out at this church, even in my in-between. I'm going to serve. I'm going to get here. I'm going to do what I can because God wants revival to flow in us and through us, and it's in the in-between that we need to refuse to be spectators. I refuse to allow unforgiveness to taint my heart. Oh, Jesus forgave me while I was yet a sinner, so why should I withhold my forgiveness? I refuse to be stingy in Jesus' name. I'm going to be a vessel, and that means I'm going to be generous with the resources that God has given me. That's good this morning. I refuse to let pride and selfish ambition sneak into the better, to get the better of me. I will be humble before my God, because when we humble ourselves, He will lift us up, church. I refuse to live without accountability. I will allow others to call me to the carpet, especially when I'm wrong. Because there will be times where I don't get it right. Because I'm a fallible man in need of a Savior. And I refuse to not live without accountability in my life. Together we should be a church that refuses division. We should refuse to be divided. We should fight for unity, especially when a church business meeting that is such a minefield of tension and opinions. God, we should fight for unity. We should love deeply and we should champion diversity in our community. We should refuse to listen or even participate in gossip. We should, as Martin Luther King said, let freedom reign. Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign and love every tribe, tongue, and nation. We are in the in-between, and we should refuse compromise in Jesus' name. Joseph refused, and look at what he said. He said, with me in charge, my master doesn't concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. Everything. No one's greater in this house than I am, and my master has withheld nothing from me except for you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing? We see two things happening in Joseph. He said he's in between. As I'm in the in-between, I'm motivated by the responsibilities in my life. Joseph put it in front of him. He said, I've got too much on my table. I've got too much in front of me that I'm responsible for. If I mess this up, then it's all going to fall apart. And church, can I tell you one of the ways that I resist temptation? Because praise God, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm void of temptation. Actually, it means there's a target on my back. And when I'm facing with temptation day to day, I look and I see you in my mind's eye, because God's placed me where I'm at with responsibility to lead our church with integrity and with purpose. And I think like Joseph, it's a tool to work with. It's a weapon to say, you know what, I refuse that because I'm responsible for way too much. I've got three beautiful children that look to me as their father, that want to see a man of God that they don't see in our culture. I look to my kids and I say, if I fail, then I fail them. I've got a wife that's faithful to me. Joseph started his defense against temptation with how his master put him in charge. You're in charge of some things. God's placed responsibility in your life. We started this message with 1 Corinthians, and it says God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But that doesn't mean we don't prepare. We prepare, and when you are tempted, God will be faithful to provide a way out so that you can endure it. This morning, if you feel tempted and you're in between, God sent me to preach hope into your soul. It's not time to quit. Let your family become a way of escape, church. Let your wife become a safe place for you to run to. Let people you love and who love you deeply be a defense against temptation. If you need support, then call, text, get on the phone, get in this campus, get to the carpet at this altar. We will pray for you. We will love you. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, no matter what you've done, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Let the promotion you just received be a motivator to refuse. I can't give in because too much is at stake. That new job that's coming because the interview is going to go well. Oh, God's given me too much to fail now. Let your friends and your community be what drives you to run away from the things that will destroy our lives. Joseph said, my master's entrusted me and put so much in charge. He doesn't withhold anything from me except you, and God sent me this morning to help you and I see that God is our master. He's given us responsibility in the in-between, and if we don't fulfill them, it will hurt us and so many others that we care about. Now is not your time to quit. I don't know if that hits you like it hits me, but that's motivation. That's motivation. The second thing Joseph said was, how can I do such a thing? I'm here this morning to lift someone's spirit. Self-respect can keep you and I in our in-between. He said, how could I do something like that? I value myself. I believe in myself. I know God's called me. He loves me. He's anointed me. I've got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got purpose. I've got destiny. There's purpose in my path. I'm worth it. I'm valuable. I know. How could I do something like that? Joseph knew that he was created for greatness. He knew that he was better than a cheap temptation. In a moment of pleasure was not worth letting go of his dream, church. In other words, he looked at his temptation in the eye and he said, I'm better than this. Somebody needs that this morning. Look your temptation. I don't care what it is. It may seem small, but you look that thing in the eye and you say, I'm better than you. I'm not going to give in. Let's all stand across this room. God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the testimonies. God, thank you for the power that we have available to us. Your word promises us that the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in us. God, I thank you for these tools. God, I pray over this congregation. No temptation has overtaken us except what is common to mankind. And God, you're faithful. You are faithful, Lord. You won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, you're going to provide a way out so that we can endure it. God, there's so many in this room right now that are experiencing an in-between season. I'm one of them, God. I'm one of them. I have yet to see the dreams that you placed in my mind's eye. I've yet to see the breakthrough that I know you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I've yet to experience you making something out of nothing. I know that there's going to come a day, and it's coming soon, where revival's breaking out in South Atlanta, and it's starting with Life Church, and it's starting in this place. And God, you're going to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever think, ask, or imagine. But in this in-between time, God, when we're tempted to go back and fall back on things that gave us momentary pleasure, God, I pray that a new resolve, a new fire in the depths of who we are would keep us in the in-between. If you're in this room right now, I'm telling you, you can't endure the in-between without Jesus. The in-between will crush you if you don't have Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only truth. Jesus is the only life. He is the only way that you can make it in your in-between. So this morning, if you are in-between and it's hard and you don't have Jesus, you've been far from him, something has been a barrier, an obstacle, a hindrance to your relationship with the God of this universe who loves you unconditionally and who sent his one and only son so that you could be set free from all temptation. If that's you this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I'm not in right standing with Jesus and I want to be. Oh, it's free. It's a gift. His salvation is today. It's right now. It's in this moment where you can receive the power to get through your in-between. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. So if you've been fighting in the in-between with every head bowed and every eye closed, you've been fighting to get through your in-between without Jesus, and you'd say, Pastor, no more. I'm not doing it by myself anymore. I can't do it in my own might, not in my own power, but by the Spirit of the living God, I can do all things. If you need Jesus this morning, if you need grace this morning, if you need love this morning, and you need it, it only comes from Jesus. And if that's you right now in this holy moment with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you. Lift up your hand right now and say, Pastor, I want Jesus. I want to be closer to him than I've ever been before. I make him my Lord and my Savior right now in this holy moment. I will not try to get through this in between without Jesus for a minute longer. One more opportunity. Don't miss this. He loves you. His love is unconditional. Anyone else? God, I pray in the name of Jesus for every hand that was lifted high. God, right now begin to wipe away all the shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation. God, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty, God. Right now, the heavy burden lifted off of their shoulders in Jesus' name. God, we cast it on you because you care for us. God, right now I pray that forgiveness and grace would begin to flow over every soul that lifted up their hands and said that they commit themselves to you in this moment. God, we trust you, and from this moment forward, our hand indicates in our heart's prayer right now in this moment is that we will forever, from right now, in this moment, serve you for the rest of our life. We will fight in the in-between, but we're not going to fight alone anymore. In Jesus' name, somebody shouted, amen, hallelujah, praise God. Some people gave their heart to Jesus this morning. Come on, we can do better than that. God is good. Here's what we're going to do. All of us have had the opportunity, so praise God. I'm hoping that every single person in this room is a blood-bought believer that loves Jesus, and so now is our opportunity. If you're in between and you want your breakthrough and you're struggling, can I tell you it's okay? Can I tell you as your pastor, it's okay to be in a hard place, because there's purpose in the in-between. There's importance in the in-between. God is got you exactly where he wants you. But here's the deal, that doesn't mean that we have no responsibility. That means in the in-between where it's the hardest, that's where we need to go hard after him. That's where we need to seek him with our whole heart. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not in our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct our path. So if you're in the in-between and you really want your breakthrough, I dare you to get to these altars. I dare you to say, God, here I am. I'm in between. I haven't seen it yet, but I want it bad. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to give in to temptation. This is me saying, I'm yours, God. I'm yours. Breakthrough's coming. Here's where you send it, Lord. The in-between right now. So, Father, anoint this altar. Give your people courage to respond. And we trust you to do impossible things over these next few moments. In Jesus' name, if you want to pray, get to these altars right now. We love you.